Hello and welcome to episode 151 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Fat Asian and I play Scorn.
This is Keith and I play Cricks and Stuff.
Crump and Circle.
This is Colin and I play Scorn.
This is Chad and I play Trolls.
I should also add Retribution. My rep buddy's got
Yes, this is Chad and I play Trolls and Retribution.
Oh.
I also play Grizzin and Assyria.
Wait, together? That seems
illegal, Colin. Just saying.
Hey, don't tell anybody.
So Jeez. We're on for Assyria in Iron Gauntlet. I think she makes the cut. It's close. It's close, but I think she makes the cut.
I'm not sure she's good enough.
I'm not
Are you a serious?
Sold.
I'm a serious.
I'm not 100% sold.
Dang it.
I don't think she's as good as Epic Haley.
No, I need to see her played because here's the deal. She does zero work herself.
Absolutely none.
And she can do nothing if her army dies, period.
Correct.
So and she doesn't really protect her. I mean, she has Inviolable Resolve, which helps, and she gets the alpha because she speeds her army up. But other than that,
she also has Admonition.
Light. Yeah, Blinding Light, I guess.
And Admonition. God. Admonition, pretty good.
Yeah, Admonition's okay. Good players play.
I mean, your army is faster than their army, and their army can't shoot.
That's really good.
That's pretty good.
That's really strong.
I got the solution. No guns. Suck it.
Oh, my God. This Def 12
it's like Trolls.
Texas Raiders that are out threat by Halberdiers by an inch. Oh, Def 12. That's great.
Oh, no.
It's just so good.
It's so cute to see. I'm so happy about it.
It's adorable.
For the first hold the press.
That there are still clouds in the way.
Whoa,
and
whoa.
Battle Thralls are still going to ruin his
whoa,
day.
Whoa, hold the phones. For the first time.
Cannot purge.
They're not getting blinded lighted. Kidding.
For the first time. No. She'll like. Does she have true sight?
Which doesn't see through clouds.
Her feet does that, right?
Nope.
Not her feet. Granted.
True sight.
Oh, okay. It gives true sight.
I mean, you just run the arc node into the cloud.
Sure, because that's tough for me to measure how far those retribution arc nodes can run.
They run so far. Is this the first time in Mark II since a melee unit has been able to out-threat Satixis Raiders?
No.
Well, I mean, I guess it's tied with
Satixis Raiders.
With Fenblade?
Ossian.
Yeah, technically now.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Assyria. So what are her stats?
She's 16-13. With, I don't remember how many boxes, not very relevant.
Probably 14.
15.
Is it 15?
Her spell list is Admonition, Blinding Light, which is new. It's cost 3, range 10, right?
Yep.
Enemy model unit cannot make ranged or magic attacks.
Warrior and, model unit.
Right, and suffers minus 2 def. And then she has Crusader's Call, Admonition, I already said that one, Velocity, and Inviolable Resolve. And then she obviously has no melee weapons or ranged attacks, but she has Ancillary Attack. She herself has True Sight. Her feat gives friendly faction models in her control area an additional die a la Signs Importance, except for you don't discard the lowest, you discard whichever one you want, and True Sight.
Yeah, she's got a really strong, flexible package.
She's very close to the spoilers that we heard, and so it lends me to think that the person that was telling the spoilers probably said, she's got a spell that stops you from casting ranged attacks and lowers your defense. And then the person hearing the spoilers probably just went, that's distraction.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they undid the runes on the ret forms, and they're like, Blinding Light. That's probably what distraction is spelled like in Retribution, I guess.
So sure. No, what it is we were wrong when they said they couldn't have Archable Distraction because they clearly have Archable Distraction. Just not distraction. It's just
right. It's just the
archival version of distraction.
It's actually better.
It is not better.
It's not better.
No magical attacks. No spells.
No minus two mat
is the particularly relevant. Yeah.
Also
part.
Costs 3 instead of 2.
I would argue it's
it is not strictly
it's
better
really,
or
really
worse,
good.
But it is certainly.
I was just imagining things like hitting Lich with it.
Yep. That's really good.
No Parasite, no Excarnate.
No, he can Parasite. No, he can't.
No, he sure can't.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was just thinking about that with Denny.
How are you going to hit
him? How are you going to hit
I
him?
I don't know.
Double Signs Importance?
No, I meant like Have you ever played against Epic Glitch with Keith? I mean, not against, like, most Epic Glitch players where they're just like, hey, here's the stuff you want to kill in my army. It's not hiding.
I think Keith...
And then Keith's like, hey, here's that stuff you want to kill behind these clouds. Suck my G.
I've seen Keith play Epic Glitch and get killed by Ron with an Arknode.
Sure.
On a hill behind a wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You suck, Keith. Jesus.
When Josh Holt is rolling dice against me, sometimes things go horrifically.
Wait, on a hill behind a wall?
At my first con.
I'm just saying.
Jesus Christ.
If he can be assassinated, he can certainly be blinded by the light.
Okay.
Blinded.
No, we're not starting that. I hate that song so much.
Like a deuce, another ruler in the night.
How do you hate that song?
It's like, a bad song.
So what scares me about playing against her or thinking about playing against her is that anything she wants to have blinding light, it can be blinded. Like, it's going to hit. She can have double signs and Bordens.
Oh my God, I can't not think of it now.
Yep.
So your caster...
I'm done.
Like, your caster is basically just automatically minus two death.
What?
Silas and Feet, if she wants to go for an...
He still has to get... You still have to get line of sight with an Arknode, is the thing. And you still have to hit with the Arknode.
But it's not... It's easier to get an Arknode into...
Does Ron never get line of sight to casters?
Yeah, why is that big of a deal to you? I mean, Ron can minus two def a caster.
Doesn't
Epic Haley can minus four def a caster.
Minus two def a
caster.
Sure does. He turns him around.
Oh.
Right in the butt!
Yeah, like... And I mean... Yeah.
He actually usually minuses all of their death.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's still going to happen.
No,
they go to death
5. Sorry.
An effective Rat 7 Banshee, which Ron doesn't take Banshees. I've actually failed to kill Vlad behind a wall before, Vlad 2.
Yeah.
Because his defense goes up.
Yep.
And you're like, whoop. She has an assassination that's... Just as... I mean, it is right up there with Ron's.
No.
No. All right. It's really not. Because she doesn't have anything like telekinesis, which is a huge assassination enabler.
Movement effects are enormous.
Yeah, it's still all based on how far away you are from the Mage Hunter strike force.
Or assassins.
Yeah.
But
which is something that you can easily determine. And most casters can just measure that.
Yeah. So,
Focus 5, no!
Here's the thing that's kind of interesting. She does not have available to her that most casters do.
A weapon?
No.
Wow.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, most casters have some way to get involved in the game, get their hands dirty, and help make up an attrition deficit. If for some reason you're not ahead with her, you're just done.
Yeah, you're just going to continue to be not ahead.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Unless you dice the shit out of your opponent, or they make a big mistake.
Yeah, I'm expecting to see the... Epic Haley conundrum compounded with her. She's going to come out of the gate so strong.
You're like, oh, her feat's amazing. Her spell is amazing.
Well, particularly, I just mean with Haley, you feel so ahead in the early game. And then
you're like, what?
Turns 3, 4, and 5 are just this bewildering downhill tumble into a loss that you don't understand.
That's the problem with being a Time Lord. Just like, you're like pausing time, and then you're just like, what's going on? All right, I'll let this play out.
What's happened to
me? Don't get me wrong. Very powerful. Blinding Light is a really strong spell.
Yeah, her entire package is good. She's sort of the epitome of support by definition.
But the thing I'm most concerned about is if for some reason she gets behind in the attrition war, and there are lists out there, like Morvana 2, for example, it'll just be like, huh! All right.
I actually really like that matchup.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems okay.
Most of the time you have two units that are just range-centric with blood trackers and... Reavers? Is that it?
Reaves?
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, you could...
Blinding Light really puts you ahead in attrition, I feel
blood trackers.
I feel like your Arknode's going to get splashed.
It could definitely be an interesting matchup.
Yeah. I mean, then you still have a range 12 Blinding Light, and then you can get back.
Yeah.
That's really dangerous.
Well,
I think Morvana probably wins that matchup.
I think it's a
game. I think it depends on the lists.
You should play it tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely might be. I just think that it's going to be really hard for her to make up for Morvana's feet.
Unless she RFPs everything forever!
She has no RFP.
Hyperions, yo!
I guess.
Yeah, because somebody was talking about the list construction for her, about everything she wants, because she's like, oh, Hyperion is the best with her because you've got
ancillary attack, ancillary and attack, her feet.
And but then
and like, inviolable resolve.
Like, and then I also want to put in an arc node or two, and it's just like then your list is gone. Like that's all of it.
Yeah, I think actually double Phoenix will be really strong with her because, well, number one, ancillary attack on a Phoenix gun is just fine because it's an AOE crit fire, right?
Yeah, it's got crit fire.
Which is also good with Science Importance.
Yep.
Especially when it's actually better than Science Importance. I guess we should make that distinction because you get to choose the dice that you drop.
I did.
So it enables crits more.
Yes.
Yeah.
All them crits in that faction. All two of them.
It is not better for actually just hitting.
No, three.
It is the same in that regard.
Correct.
It is only better insofar as it makes critical hits more likely.
Which in that faction, there is decap. Grievous Wounds on Banshees and Hyperion's Gun.
And Crit Fire on a Phoenix.
Sure.
And so it's Crit Smite on... No,
they have Combo Smite. Yeah.
Additionally, it also gives you the capability of not hitting or damaging your own models.
Indeed.
I actually think when I was dojoing lists where I was going two different list styles, one didn't have double Phoenix. It had Phoenix and Discordia. Because her being immune to blast damage is pretty important, so she can actually spend her focus every turn. And then also Discordia synergizes with ancillary attack very well, because two Rat 6 POW 14 sprays is pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, those sprays can actually be Rat 8, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It is interesting. The more I'm thinking about it, is just that fact that she can't do any work.
Right? That's the thing I'm hung up on, because... If you're
because even Tubby, I've seen Tubby, who also has no, he's the other caster that has no weapon.
But he has offensive spells.
Yeah. And so even when it gets to late game, he'll just be like, oh, throw out some Breath of Corruptions, throw out some, you know, influence. Whatever.
I mean, I've seen Influence get him back in the game a little bit.
Yeah. But she literally has nothing. Right. Like, she has no way of killing a model herself. Yeah.
Correct.
The only caster in the game that has that
cannot kill a model.
So I need to understand how much. I see all the good things that she does, and I see all the leverage she gives her army, but I need to understand if that's enough to overcome the deficit that she creates just by being her.
God, that's so weird. Even, like, all the other admonition casters, you're like... Because the late game, it's always they put the admonition on themselves. And then you're going like, oh, crap, I can't charge them. They'll just admonition away, and then they'll kill me.
Yeah.
And for her, you're like, charge. She's like, admonition, gotcha. And you're like,
And then she's like, okay. Come sit up next to you, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah. You're like, all right, I'll get you next turn.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too. I mean, depending on how things are...
You can't ever catch her, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, there's other interesting, just along those lines, I just had this thought... I guess pretty randomly, but there's a lot of casters that can just sort of get to your caster and maybe not kill you, like Pikaya, Nosar.
Epikaya.
Yeah, all right, you don't really have much in your backfield. Hi! I'm
right.
Here.
Oh my god, that's the best run Laris pop my feet game.
Yeah.
It's like,
holy crap, Laris is like, kapew! Kaya, go! Cast Laris Disanimus. Teleport my entire army. Ah!
Just surround Assyria with wolves and be like, sup?
Yeah, because normally that doesn't
She's
work.
She's like, Hyperion. Hyperion, help. Help.
Hyperion's like, why are you way back there?
He's like, you're on your own, boss.
Yeah, normally that's the worst, because then Kaya just dies, but because their caster's...
So here's an interesting idea. Is the most reliable way, then, to overcome her deficit... to have Blinding Light not be the plan? Because if you bring Hyperion as your battle group without straying into arc nodes, that does give her the capability to... essentially gives her a high-quality attack. She then has Starburst Cannon as her attack.
Right.
Which is above average for a warcaster.
Right.
That puts her into doing work territory. And the other thing she can do then is she can Blinding Light... reliably once a turn, I would say, with the range 12 Blinding Light and a 6-inch effective teleport.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gives her one pretty reasonable Blinding Light a turn if she needs it. And that allows you to build an army around her, but that's not giving you the deep Blinding Lights to stop long gunners, to stop gun mages, to stop the Reeves in the back of Morvana's army.
Or even something like a bomber.
Right.
Is probably not going to be in range to get Blinding Lighted. Or if it is, you know,
because she has a personal threat range then of, what, 18 inches with Blinding Light?
more if she velocities to go forward. That but then she's like velocitying to go forward. But then she's not velocitying to go backwards, correct. Rather.
I mean, and then I think she's just ending the game. If she's velocitying forward, then she's going to try and end the game. That's the only reason why she would do that.
Right.
I'm fine with the velocity forward if her plan is then to walk backwards. I mean, you could do that in either order. That's fine.
I guess, yeah.
But
I mean,
one of those has to be backwards.
No.
You velocity forward and then charge backwards.
No, what's she can't.
She doesn't have a weapon.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
What size is her base? Is
she small. She's a small base.
She's so small.
And the other cool thing is that she flies, so she can go right through the Hyperion. Like, not directly.
Oh, what's her speed, actually? I forgot. Six. Is she six?
Wait, no, she can go directly.
Not quite.
Really?
Yeah.
She has like an inch size base, and then that's less than a half, or less than five.
Yeah.
Maybe?
No, because.
Math is hard.
The base is a little bit bigger than an inch.
It is?
So you cannot go directly across.
I don't think you can go directly
across. And Colossals are slightly less than 5 inches.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Because I've consumed a bunch of whelps.
To the mathematician's website.
Yeah.
Internet.
It doesn't really matter.
We'll have Renth figure it out.
I'm not trying to pee on the Rent players forum.
It's super easy to figure out. All you need to do is say,
ask Renth. Yes, it is very easy.
No, 120 millimeters.
It's 150 millimeters.
Aren't they? Yeah, 150 plus the 30.
No, they're 120.
They're 120.
They're 120. Okay, so 150 millimeters.
So 150 millimeters is 150 millimeters less than.
It works.
It works.
7 inches.
So yay. Yes, she can go directly through Hyperion, which is kind of neat.
Thanks, John, for making these 6-inch templates.
If she's on base to base,
is she? Yeah.
If she is in base to base with him at the start of her velocity, or
ka-ka!
I mean, that's so not important.
It's not. Yeah, it's not really
super important.
Let's focus on it.
There are some scary interactions, though, with a turn of Signs Importance, like, and Crusader's Call. Like, she can...
It's like, Signs Importance with Mage Hunter Assassins that charge, like, threat 16 inches?
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, you want to take a heavy off the board with 2 points?
They're not going to take a heavy off.
Oh, Josh Holt will.
Like...
Boy, does he.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, four points.
If you're... Well, maybe.
Has anyone talked to Josh Holt about Assyria? Is he excited?
I haven't seen him for ages.
He probably is excited.
I wonder what he thinks.
Anyway, my point was, like, she's definitely going to get some work done on her feet turn. She has a good alpha.
Yeah, she... That's why I still think that she's really good. Like,
yeah, I think she's strong.
She might be the best Rett caster.
I think she is.
Maybe, but
top
like
three.
That, just this realization is making me a little
easy
bit...
easy top three.
Yeah, like Colin, like, did you see the Assyria spoilers? And he like tells me what she does, and I'm like, he's like, top three caster, and I was like, in Retribution, yeah, not close. And then he was like, no, in the game. Oh,
Colin. Sorry, Colin.
Oh, God.
I still feel she is a top five caster. She is in the S class, in my opinion.
I think you're underestimating the impact of never doing work with your caster.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I was the only one from this group to say Morvana was the best caster in the game the week she came out. And then everybody's like, oh, she's top 10. She's top 10. Yes, this is true. I remember because I was yelling at all of you.
Yeah, we've all failed. To recognize and bow to Colin's wisdom, and I think we should apologize to him for that.
Colin, I'm really sorry.
Wow, you guys.
So much.
Like, I'm about ready to throw down my life.
That's what I do, sincerity. Did you see that? That was amazing.
I'm about ready to turn off my mic and go home.
Jesus Christ.
I don't, God loves me. I don't.
She definitely is very interesting, and there's sort of two schools to build her. One, Halberdiers with her seem straight bonkers, obviously, because she has...
Yeah, House Guard Thane, Halberdiers, good place to start. Team effort plus Signs Importance means you can either like have two turns of them doing really incredible stuff, or one turn of them going back bonkers.
Yep.
Killing Heavies is certainly within their scope at that point.
I was in the... The way I was designing it was kind of a JMU with a ton of infantry models and cast distraction to deliver the infantry models, and as such Hyperion doesn't really fit in that list very well, right? Because Colossals aren't very good in jamming armies because they're wanting to shoot things that are being jammed. So that's where I got Phoenix and Discordia as the battle group.
I like that battle group. I actually wouldn't hate Chimera in a Discordia.
Yeah, maybe.
Disco is an interesting choice because it's another one of those where a 10-inch spray is a pretty reasonable...
A Rat's 6 10-inch spray is
a pretty reasonable
really
attack
good.
For a Warcaster to have. I mean, she doesn't get to put it wherever she wants it, which is...
The thing I like about that, too, is like when you're ancillary attacking... Like a Banshee a Banshee or a Phoenix or a Hyperion, I feel like you're losing out on a lot just by them not being able to spin focus to boost. Whereas with Disco, you probably don't need it. Like, he's probably just going to be shooting at infantry.
I feel like Hyperion is the best for not having the focus.
Well,
particularly for with Blinding, if you combo with Blinding Light, because in that plan you have an Arc Node, so you can Blinding Light the spray targets. So minus, so it becomes the equivalent of a Rat 8 spray. And we've all seen
it's the equivalent on the feed. It's the equivalent of Rat 10.
Right.
Yeah. The only issue here's the only issue that I have with Hyperion. He obviously everything she does on her spell list makes him better, except for Admonition.
Right.
The issue is that.
If she's
range,
so fast.
No, range 10 guns suck balls on Colossals. Yep. Like, yeah, it's going to be the super sweet feat turn where you're going to be like, crit consume twice, boosh, that was super fun. However, it's range 10.
And now you can't shoot me. No, they're like, charge.
Well, the other thing...
oh, no.
And if you're playing infantry models, it's kind of like the danger close scenario where I'm, like, risking crit consuming my own guys or just, like, killing my own dudes.
Well, it does also permit Hyperion to run Starburst.
Right. But then she's probably...
I don't know. I really want a Banshee in the list.
It gives you situations like run, Starburst, and then Starburst charge.
Yeah.
Like, because she's like, run and Starburst. Like, next turn, feet, Starburst cannon, charge it into something.
But think about this. Having your 20-point model do not what it's meant to do. Or I guess 18. They're 18.
Still shooting a Starburst cannon from an extra 5 inches of threat range.
Yeah, but it's effectively 18 points of your army didn't... Like, 18 points of your army did nothing but run on, like, a turn where it could be killing things.
That happened
it,
a lot.
It did kill things. It killed...
No, Assyria killed things.
Assyria doing work here. But I see the army.
Like, having a Colossal be like, how many times when you're playing a Colossal or a huge base are you like, past turn one, this thing needs to run... Like, that's seems very
well,
bad.
With my Mountain King pretty often.
With a Hyperion, I can see that because it only has a range 10 gun. Like, you kind of hit the nail on the head.
It's also got, I mean, it's got hand cannons.
Yeah, but, you know, the Judicator never runs after turn 1, and sometimes doesn't even run on turn 1 because it has range 14 guns.
I feel like Hyperion with her is going to be sort of how Prime Axioms feel with Mother. So, like, on the feature in the Prime Axiom, just like, ah, I get to do everything I want to forever! And that's how Hyperion's going to feel with her on her feat turn. But every other turn is just going to feel like, it's okay.
That inviolable resolve on that thing is a problem, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like her package for Hyperion.
Why do you think that she needs a Banshee?
Because a Rat 7 knockdown gun. Like,
that's solid.
But then are you going to put something in to take advantage of the knockdown since she can't really do it herself, or...
Well, it allows one Banshee to knock down two things.
Yep.
Which is pretty interesting.
Hmm. Like, it's as if you have two Banshees in the list.
Yeah, I wonder if you can make a demon work in her list.
I thought about it. Yeah. Demons suck.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that gun is good enough.
It's not. It's not. The 2-inch pull is not enough.
Chris has tried it many a times, and it is not
I tried it. Maybe it's just because we're skewed from Hellmouth. So we're just like, God, this gun is terrible. It only kills, like, two infantry models.
Or just missing.
Instead of seven.
Well, I guess on the feat turn, it might be nice because there's some sort of dice fixing. Other than that.
I was just thinking with the ancillary attack. Like, that one of those shots is really not enough to do much, but two might be a lot better. It's one of those things that might be a lot better.
Yeah. I'm stuck on Disco with her just so she doesn't die to...
No,
Menoth blast damage, or I mean, you could put a Mega Mittens in it. I feel like you have to have one of those two.
Probably. I mean, you're going to have to bring some defensive tech for Assyria.
Yeah.
And you don't have access to things like Clad Dwarves or Gorman.
Right. So either one of those two or both. I haven't actually built the whole list yet, but.
And that's why I don't. That's why I kind of like Hyperion, because he's a bunker for her to hide behind as well.
Oh, I mean, that's not like necessarily the issue, because she can be Def 18 arm. 15 versus shooting, which is pretty resilient for most casters.
Sure.
But it's more so just like, I'm just extremely afraid of Redeemers, like Judicators, anything in Menoth.
Ravagor.
Ravagor drifts.
Yeah, fire is real bad for her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like Epic. It's like Epic Cane or Pikaia, and I think that's it.
No, Epic Cane has Arcane Shield.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I guess she has Inviolable Resolve.
P-Morgul or E-Morgul.
Nope, Morgul's. Yep, those are 13s.
They can transfer at least.
They can transfer the fire.
Yeah, it burns.
She is in the worst shape for fire of any casting yep. game at present.
My list that I built for was like a Banshee, I think it was a Phoenix, and then like Strike Force, a Thane, and the Houseguard Thane. So Houseguard Joe. And, it was two Mage Hunter Assassins and Narn, because I think that is broken as balls. And, like...
What was your battle group?
It was about it. It was
Banshee.
Phoenix and Banshee. Phoenix.
Oh my gosh. I just had another thought. I can't wait till the first time I see an Assyria player have a Totem Hunter, like, kill something and sprint into base-to-base with her. What's up?
Right.
Yeah, or like Narn, same thing. Just be like, ah, God.
You're like, I'm going to choose my prey.
There's an Assyria right there.
It's going to be her.
What I find kind of funny is I feel like the worst matchup for Assyria is Assyria. It's just like kind of Raven versus Raven.
That's a Raven.
Because I feel like most people are going to be playing Strike Force with her.
I will not be.
Okay.
I would lean on Invictors.
I'm leaning on... I don't know. Ever since that thing, I'm just leaning on all House Guard forever.
The only reason why I don't like Invictors in the list is because they're so hot. Like, her list is pretty tied up in points, I think.
I mean, it depends on... You have to make some choices.
Ultimately, she reminds me of P. Denny in that she polishes turds so well, you can play with any old turd you want. It's going to be fine.
I agree.
I mean,
in a faction where there aren't really turds.
A lot of their stuff. A lot of their stuff is very self-sufficient, and
that's what's most.
They don't have a lot of buff casters.
Yeah, so that's why she's most exciting to me.
So this is just a diamond polishing a diamond.
Yeah, basically.
Oh no, they're gonna get so scratched.
She's not really a diamond per se, but what I'm saying is, how you see a lot of variety in P. Denny lists, you will see a lot of variety in Assyria lists.
Yep.
And some of, I mean, they'll all have different matchups where they're a little better or a little worse than.
Yeah.
It just depends.
I think that does speak to how... I think that she was probably designed pretty well just by the fact that she has so many different playstyles and so many different things that she wants to do that, like, you know, the perfect army for her is never going to be attainable, speaks to a well-designed caster.
Yeah. So I want to know why... So everybody, like, really freaked out when they said Retribution was going to get Signs of Importance. Why are people not freaking out? Is it just because it's a feat and not a...
Yeah, it's way different when it's a feat, because here's the deal. With Mage Hunter Strike Force, for example, that's the ones that probably break Stein's importance the most.
Yeah.
When it's a feat, you have a problem where you're like, okay, I want to save it until I get a good assassination attempt. And if your opponent is KG, they can take your Mage Hunter Strike Force off the table before you get to apply Stein's importance to them. Or you have to apply it early and get different kinds of work out of it. So it's one of those things where every turn would be a lot harder to deal with, but it's a lot easier to deal with when it's on a feat. It's still bad. I mean, it's still real bad.
Yeah.
This is one of the few feats where I cannot see saving it as being advantageous for you.
Yeah, you got to pop it.
This feat has got to go out the moment you can get
as most
the majority
red feats.
Of your army.
Yeah, the trick is going to be...
an attack of any kind.
Is this the turn that I'm going to get the most attacks in the game that I'm playing?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be able to identify... This is my turn for Signs of Importance because I'm never going to have another turn with more attacks than this turn.
Yeah, like after this turn, I've lost a portion of my army or things will be out of range or whatever.
Because when we talk about attrition and alpha strikes and the cascade to victory, like that is 100% her plan.
Absolutely.
She has a respectable assassination. It's not the best in the game. It's not, but it's respectable. But that's... And this is my own bias, but I don't feel like that's ever your consistent plan. Like, I'm going to eventually kill their caster. So you're not holding your feet, at least in my mind, you're not holding your feet for the assassination turn.
It's like, unless you're wrong.
So you have to cascade to victory. And to cascade to victory, this feat needs to go early.
Well, yeah, I feel like it's just pretty obvious that the longer you hold that feat, if your plan is assassination, then the worse your assassination gets.
I mean, for the most part.
Infiltrators speed 7 or speed 6?
They're speed 7.
7?
Yep.
I really like infiltrators with her, I think, with Crusader's Call.
Yeah, the list that I'm currently working on.
And then you
on,
put a little bit of that 3 Iris on there. You just add in a little dash of 3 Iris. Bam!
The list that
kick
I,
it up a notch.
She's got 6 Warjack points, right? I'm pretty sure it's 6.
Yeah, she does have 6.
Okay. The list that I'm building, or that I had started earlier, was Disco, Phoenix, and Arcanist, a House Guard thing, House Guard Halberdiers with UA, and Infiltrators with Eris. And...
Sorry, could you say that again? For the most part, when I hear people talking about Ratlist, I just hear womp womp.
Discordia.
Womp 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 womp.
Discordia, Phoenix, Arcanist, Halberdiers plus UA and a Thane, and then Infiltrators with Eris. And then Silas, but that guy's probably not.
So two Warjacks and 2 units.
Currently, yeah.
Is it? Seems small.
Seems light.
Well, it's because there's still like 11 points.
Okay.
I was like, list is minuscule.
Yeah, that's a little bit light in the pants.
It's a pretty good like 40-point list. Strong.
Dester Thane seem good with her. I mean, they're good most of the time, but
I like Quad Dester Thane. Fail.
Dester Thane, when you've got the like Blinding Light, you're like, Blinding Light, Dester Thane, kill half that unit. He's like, I can
do
that.
Oh, that seems awesome, actually.
I could do that.
The only issue is, like, I want some...
Can
I feel like
ride
I want...
by, kill half that unit, and then ride by out of their charge range?
Yep, and they're good solos to help you with taking zones and flags and whatnot.
Yep.
But yeah, she's got the, I can take anything, like...
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet.
I've got the Morana 2 problem. Why do they keep running casters where I can't figure out what I want to play with them?
No, I think that shows how much they've grown in caster creation.
Or they're just too OP.
let's be honest. If you own a game company and you create casters that work with a lot of different things,
yep,
then you get people to buy a lot of different things. Like, this is good for them, and it's good for us. So, because it makes the game more rich.
They're like, how can we sell Reeves?
Ta-da!
God, I'm so happy that, like, I ran an event one time, and I was just like, hey, Dom, you want, like, I want to get these things, but I'm short store credit. He was just like, yeah, we're never going to sell those Reeves. You could just have them. I was like, thanks. I'm probably never going to play them. Morvana 2 got printed. Thanks, Dom.
Tom,
you're the best.
Obviously didn't clear that with James. Because James would be like, no! We're not giving those.
And that could be cut out of the podcast.
But I ran an event. That was payment.
All right.
So yeah, I'm interested to see where she lands on the heap. Because the other thing that I was thinking about her is creating a two-list pairing for her it's a bit of an exercise. Because the question I ask myself is she any good against Protectorate? Which is the problem that Retribution traditionally faces the strongest, is how do I deal with Protectorate? And traditionally the answer to that is Lord Arcanist of Sion. He's one of the strongest anti-Protectorate casters in the entire game.
Yeah, he's a pain in the butt.
Conditioned upon having Ion Unholt in his list. So in order to play against Protectorate, she'll need to have Ion Unholt in her list, but she doesn't get much use out of Blinding Light.
She doesn't necessarily need Ion.
It can't target...
Zealots, it can't target Errants.
Zealots, Errants, or Warjacks. Most of the time. Warjacks ever. Because it doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Most of the time, never.
Most of the time equals ever. So, really, in the Protectorate matchup, she is her feet and Crusader's Call.
And IR.
And
somewhat.
IR. For when it matters against Protectorate, which I feel like is bordering
20% of the time.
they could target the Errants. All they need to do is crit consume the Standard Bearer.
Yeah. Sure. No problem.
Which she can do 75% of the time if she pops her feet.
75% of the time when he's standing near another model in a place where a 10-inch...
No, he can run 10 and then shoot another 10. So and then she can walk and velocity and ancillary attack.
33%.
I do want to crit consume Errants. That just sounds hilarious.
That sounds exactly like drifting bombs on a Tartarus.
Yeah. Like,
except for instead of
the same plan.
Except for instead of it being a Tartarus, it's a 1-point standard bearer that doesn't have a weapon.
He has a weapon. He has a sword.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does not.
He doesn't even have
a sword. No, he's not.
He's not a
Crix or Kador unit attachment.
Huh. Or Scorn.
I thought with all the UAs that had, or UAs to units that had multiple weapons, they gave them one. Because like the long gunner standard bearer has a sword.
The Venator Reaver has a sword.
Yeah, see,
not the Iron standard bearer.
The Nuala has a no.
But yeah, so Ossian is still probably in the mix. And so I guess it's going to be, are you a Ron loyalist?
Here's the deal.
Do you still love your Raven, or do you want to play Assyria?
If you play Assyria with the Blinding Light plan, you kind of take Ron off the table. Because if somebody counters spells,
right,
they counter both.
And that makes me sad, because I love Ron.
I love me some Ron.
Just do Ron and Assyria, and then just have Ron, or just have Assyria be the jam.
Yeah, you could be the non-Blinding Light plan, like you were talking about.
Which is like, I'm going to Blinding Light to kill your stuff.
Maybe. Sometimes. Maybe. I'll Blinding Light if it's good. Otherwise, we will feed Hyperion and
or
Crusader's Call and IR and have an amazing feat.
Crusader's Call, no, it doesn't allow you to charge for free, does it?
Actually,
no.
Actually, oh, like, so good.
It is not Coop Domain.
So, against, like, Harvey, like, Double Phoenix actually kind of sounds kind of sweet for the double chances of setting, like, crit fires.
I don't want my caster to be fishing for crits that list.
No, I'm not. It's just a bonus. I mean, the Phoenixes are good anyway because they're arc nodes. They do work. Yeah. I mean,
like, I'm not fishing for crits. It's just in that specific
they have a
matchup.
13-inch charge range with Crusader's Call. Like, you can do things with Phoenixes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Fire's not the greatest thing on Harby.
Oh. It's not on Harby. It's really good on Errants.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I gotcha. Yes.
When they, especially when they group up to, like, kill something, and then you, like,
oh.
Light them all on fire.
Yeah.
Or you could just combust them. Combust the move.
I do love me some combustion.
Yeah, that... Oh, God, I love doing
only
that.
Only she could ancillary attack combustion.
only was locomotion instead of velocity.
Oh, my...
You mean Energizer?
Yeah. Energizer would be...
Or locomotion, either. Would be fine. I mean, obviously you want Energizer, because it is objectively better than locomotion. God, that's so...
Wait, does Raven have locomotion?
Yes, she does. Yes.
Huh. Raven 2, Energizer.
That could happen.
Baby, do the locomotion.
Yeah, that's the best. Actually, no, that spell is no longer objectively worse because you do get to sing that song when you cast that spell.
So,
the little bit of rhythm.
And
a lot of soul.
Do we rate her as, like...
I'm going to go with a D.
Come on.
I mean, what do you mean, Raider? I mean, she's top three rec caster. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, normally, we give a letter grade to new casters.
So an A, I guess? I mean, by definition in that faction, she's an A, right?
I think she's an A.
Like
if the casters, if all the casters in the game were rated in a... Like,
A through F.
Yeah, with some S's at the top.
Yeah. 4 out of 5 tasty tacos.
Ooh.
That's a good caster.
Yeah, that's a really good caster. She's a spicy meatball.
I don't. So it's only 80% of the tacos.
I'm
going to
say she's at least an A+.
I mean, okay, so like, let's just think about in ret now. The casters to play at tournaments are Cyan, Ron, Raven, Virus to Assyria.
Yeah, all playable.
Mm-hmm.
And then even P Virus and Gareth are still
certainly playable. Not Kalissa.
Oh, I forgot about her.
I mean, she is terrible.
Probably, like, maybe not anymore, considering you have a unit that ignores stealth and a feat that's just like, hey,
that's just a little joke for someone who I think
is it for Danny Modesto?
Yeah. No, it is not for Danny Modesto.
Oh, dang it! is it for?
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
I'm gonna. I don't.
So your bold prediction.
Josh loves you, Danny.
Is she is top 3 in the game? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying she is like
Lich. Her?
I'm saying she jumps into. I think she's in the S class.
He thinks she's god tier.
Yeah,
she's not touching the ground.
He thinks that she's like epic Lich, epic Haley, epic Kane.
God, all
epic
the best
Morvana.
All the best casters in the game don't touch the ground.
I know. That's
Chris
why
is right.
Chris was so excited when he cast this. Was not touching the ground.
But I'm like,
holy crap!
So will we say she is like a top tier caster?
Yeah.
If 5 Retribution players qualify for War Machine Weekend with her,
there aren't even that many Retribution players.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. Yeah.
In the world. Period.
Somebody that 5 Retribution players will qualify for War Machine Weekend with her.
How much are we betting?
Since I don't have money,
how much are we betting? Because
pride.
Okay, I'm gonna message Danny Modesto and Sam Krupp and everyone else on the red.
No, screw you. People have to actually play her.
She's like, guys, don't play red.
This
year.
For a year.
It's like, Modesto, go play Mercs or something.
She releases in February.
So,
Colin, I think you should bet that you can get into the War Machine Weekend Invitational. with Assyria.
Well, some
more things that are coming out.
Yeah, I said you could borrow my red whenever you wanted to.
You gotta
for
paint
a tournament.
It up. Why?
I mean, you could paint it up.
You don't have to paint it to qualify for War Machine Weekend. Yeah. Just to play in.
Yeah,
War
you
Machine
have no like. No Adepticon.
I wouldn't worry.
Adepticon. Boosh.
Boosh.
Okay.
Which is the only tournament Colin's going to this year.
That's the one we're going to qualify for War Machine Weekend.
The only one I need to, Chad.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
The one where you have to play three casters.
Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Adepticon is terrible.
Because there are 34 qualifiers.
No, there are...
Well, to be fair, like, three of them are not in the United States.
There'll be 32 people qualified for War Machine. So, five is a less unreasonable number.
It's still kind of a big number considering zero the last two, 3 years. Is it 2 years or 3 years? Zero ret players.
For however many years Retribution has existed.
Yeah, I mean, let's take a look at the data.
So I'm going to say five is really good.
I think in the Invitational 1 year.
He played.
Keith played
Retribution in the qualifying.
Keith debated playing it this year for like a minute.
And so did like
longer than
other
a minute.
What, 2 minutes?
For as long as it was said that specialists were.
Oh god, that is the wet dream of that faction. Holy crap! Any specialist tournament, I'm just
yeah. Because you put your main in respect force.
I just want audible to ret every specialist like tournament. Just like, well, I brought my circle, but
pretty good.
So yeah, five people. That's it.
All right, I'll take that bet. What are we betting? How about you just bet that you get in with Rhett this year?
I don't know. What time is it?
It's like 40 minutes.
Adventure.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Wait, with the preamble?
Yeah, with the preamble, it's 45.
Oh, okay. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, wait, I actually wanted to say something. But now I have to get to it.
I mean, do you want to finish that Assyria list for the last 5 minutes?
Man. Last 5 minutes is just us singing the Locomotion.
Come on.
That's not the Locomotion.
I know, it's better.
Turn around right now. Oh,
that's Rod's song?
No, the best is by far the Blues Brothers.
I can see the light.
God, it's by far the best.
So what were you going to say?
It's not loading.
Oh, yeah, this thingy.
When I did my List Busters back in episode 138, somebody else had actually posted that list in List Busters. It wasn't actually his list that he made. And I, through some digging in our forums, found the guy who actually posted the list. His forum name is Paddles. And
that's a sweet name.
And he is, I think he's from Great Britain because he said cheers. Only people from Great Britain say cheers, right?
Maybe he is from the TV show Cheers.
No.
People from Australia
obviously
also say cheers.
He's confirmed. He's 100% from...
People in South Africa also say cheers. Yeah. People anywhere that has been colonized by the United Kingdom, except for America, says cheers.
It's pretty much Great Britain, though, right?
I'm going to go with...
If they're colonized, then they are. It's kind of like
in the British Empire.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to go with he's from the UK.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to him because he apparently, when some of his like local Scorn players had heard our podcast, like went and congratulated him because they thought that list was terrible. And they were just like, well, congratulations. I guess it's fine. And apparently he like runs it really well. And so we're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
Mordekaiser is taking down War Machine Weekend next year.
But you're playing Rhett.
I thought you're playing Rhett.
I thought
you're
Assyria
really
was taken down.
Well, no. Assyria is qualifying, and then I'm going to crush Assyria.
With Mordekaiser.
I don't have Retribution to play.
Oh, my God. He'll use lanterns against the caster with Blinding Light.
How are you going to crush Assyria? She's a top tier S list god caster, god level caster.
I'm going to net deck the crump out of her.
With Scorn?
There was one other brief topic.
No ranged units.
That we can go into. There's a post in our... Colin brought my attention to a post that's in our dojo section.
Yeah, dojo section.
Talking about how to play Krix against Krix, which is kind of an interesting topic that I have put a significant amount of thought into. Because pretty much whenever you're going to a tournament, you think about... how to play against Krix. It's a skew that you have to be aware of.
The Krix and Krix matchup is actually really interesting.
The Krix and Krix matchup is a bit of a dance because there's several layers to it. Initially, you just want like volume of attacks and mat fixing. So you're like, oh, Scar would probably be good. But then Mechanithral Recursion can be very effective. The problem that runs into is living troops can be a liability because Epic Lich is actually very solid against Crix, because if they have brought a significant number of living models, then those Bile Thralls just start becoming...
Bile Thralls. Yeah.
Against an all-infantry army, basically.
You're going to have a bad time.
So then you ask yourself, do I want to build an army with no living models in it to play against Crix, which is another direction you can go in with a number of casters. P-Denny is also really good against Crix because they have to have either the Blood Hag or the Wither Shadow Combine, which isn't unusual to see.
They almost always have the Blood Hag. They almost never have the Wither Shadow.
But the Blood Hag also has kind of a limited range for removing upkeep, so yep. Sometimes you can get Crippling Grasp to do a great deal of work. Like sometimes if they're running Raiders and Witches, the Blood Hag will not be able to get to a Raider to remove Crippling Grasp.
So you can always just kill the enemy Blood Hag.
Right, and then if you can remove the enemy Blood Hag, then Crippling Grasp. And Crippling Grasp is even quite good against Asphyxius if you can land it on the Bile Thralls and he can't remove it. That's less common. Like, as an Asphyxius player, I'm usually pretty cognizant of what can shut down the Bile Thralls and pretty cognizant of how to avoid that. But at least what I've found is that when all is said and done and you've gone through all the different layers of, oh, this is good, but it's countered by this, but this, so this is then good. It comes down to Epic Denegra is probably the strongest anti-Crix caster. Her whole package screams like, go to hell, infantry.
Yeah.
She's the best anti-melee.
Yeah. Cause caster. She's like, sit in place. If you're running Recursion, I will RFP your stuff. If you're running Epic Lich, I will RFP your stuff. Like, being incorporeal is a pretty...
Irrelevant.
It's being incorporeal for her is an almost perfect defense against most of what Crix is going to throw at her. Like, shuts down pretty much every unit except for the Blood Hag, or the Blood Witches, and the Black Bane's Ghost Raiders.
And the Ghost Raiders will have trouble hurting her.
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, living, because she'll be like... Haha, you're no longer incorporeal, you're dead.
Yeah, she can turn off incorporeal against other Crix players.
Also true.
It's also the witches, right? The one that with puppet strings and they have the magic...
Wither Shadow Combine.
So, yeah, I mean, she obviously can be targeted by spells. So if she's playing against, like, a P Asphyxius, she runs the danger of a spell assassination. But camping is a pretty surefire defense against that. So then it's just a question of how you build your Epic Denegra list. You can build it as a... what I've ended up doing is just building mine more generally for scenario and attrition play, and I have not excluded all living models to... Like, if an Epic Denegra list with only undead models is, like, the clincher, that's, like, the best.
Gotcha, buddy.
Pretty much. That's what Carnage used to play a lot when...
Still does.
When we were in the same meta, because he'd be like, God, I hate Epic Lich. I particularly hate Keith. So he would play Epic Denegra with all undead models. And
weird, I have no idea how he could feel that way.
And then
so odd.
And then we never got paired. I don't think I ever had to play against that
list. That's awesome.
About Epic Denegra, if you go all undead, like, that list is... pretty good against a lot of the flavor of the month Crix lists that are sort of popping up now, you know, like the Jack Heavy lists or whatever. Like, that Denegra list will tear it up. Like, Mort Nebra.
Yeah. Because, I mean, all undead inevitably means there's Banes and quite a bit of Bane in
there. You could play, like, Pirate Party.
So that list is actually very good against Protectorate. Enliven just gets shut off. It's reasonably solid there. I mean, it has problems against Protectorate, but all Crix lists have some problems. The higher armor scores make it relatively useful against a lot of melee armies, although I find that the running Satixus Raiders, or against ranged armies, all I find the running Satixus Raiders are a little bit better. And it's also just an endless nut stomping against Scorn, like really super bad for Scorn.
Man. I'm sure you're like,
Fox, I hate you so much.
Especially if she's running more than 10 Bane Knights, like if there are 20 Bane Knights.
I'm just sort of spitballing here, but
trolls don't love it either.
In my brain, the unit that seems god awful seems okay in the Crix mirror match, which is the Covenant or the the Revenant crew.
Yes, the
Revenant. They actually seem pretty good because they can't. There's like nothing to kill the leader.
If you want to delve really deep into the rabbit hole of Cricks versus Cricks, this is something that I actually did in our football league.
Yeah.
When you went into a week knowing.
You're like, I'm playing against Cricks. Yeah. You're like, Revenant crew!
And so my list against Brian Finken that I actually played was Black Bane's Ghost Raiders,
yeah.
The Revenant crew. And then, like, Nyss Hunters. It was an epic Denny with, like, all guns. So it couldn't kill anything above armor 17.
No, you're playing against Krix. Like,
it's Krix.
Yeah.
So, yes, if you really want to build a nut stompy Krix list, then the
Revenant crew.
Pretty terrifying.
Because they also can't kill the leader. Like, yeah, there aren't enough guns in a Krix list to, like, reliably, like, get to, like, you can predict, like, oh, okay, that Satixis has a hand cannon, so I'll just move him here. Yeah. Ta-da.
Just lock her in place and murder her. Like, yeah. All of the guns just get... So there's, like, two or three turns of them being at full no matter what, and their guns are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're range 8 Pow-12s.
And then the three weapon attachments.
Yeah. Range 14. Range 14 Pow-10s! Pew! And the artillery?
No.
Wow.
No, we're
Dang
not
it.
Playing any of the artillery. So, I mean...
That artillery is not bad. It's 2 points.
It's not.
It is 3 points.
It's three.
It's three? I thought it was two.
3 points for the same gun as the deck gun, except for...
Nah, not all of them.
It is the deck gun with ghost shot, and you pay an extra point.
Name an artillery that's not 3 points.
The deck gun. The one in red.
The deck gun is two.
Also the one in red.
The field
light artillery.
The field gun.
Whatever the sniper things in red that are terrible. No, we're going to keep crushing your lack of knowledge of light artillery. Come on.
Boom.
They see so much play.
So, yeah. Krix on Krix, it's... You can go through the layers. It depends on where your meta's Krix... What the Krix looks like in your meta, but the ultimate anti-Krix Krix caster is Epic Denegra.
Epic Denegra is really good in the meta right now.
I can't honestly think of a Krix list where I'm like, man, if I take Epic Denny against that, I'm going to be in bad shape. I'm not sure there is one.
Probably not.
She might be...
Sturgis.
No.
Dang. I was guessing. I'm just shooting blanks here.
Just spitballing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of casters. There are very few casters in the game that I think are harder on Krix than Epic Denegra is. Like,
her feet is a huge problem.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention this really quick. Totally Not Keith is struck again, by the way.
Ooh.
In the Gorshay thread, saying just another caster is not going to buy. So
God, that's amazing.
We don't know.
Keith swears it isn't him, and I believe it because Keith would not take the time to create a new account. Yeah, but like the best was I saw it, and then I was like, Keith, I know this isn't you. This is amazing. There's a guy who posted one post. His name is Totally Not Keith, and it's in the List Busters, and the list is. Lich 2,
yeah, it's just Lich
2 Arknodes.
No, it's literally,
yeah.
It's literally Keith's Lich list.
So,
that's
leading
glorious.
Suspects, Danny Goodner, because he's always a leading suspect.
No, it's just Danny Goodner.
It probably is Danny. Although, it's not used enough to be Danny.
No.
He either has gotten more subtle.
Maybe it's Colin. Although, I feel like he wouldn't be able to keep a straight
Hill?
Face.
It could always be Andy or Nate, too.
Oh, it could be Colin Hill.
Yeah, it definitely could be
it
Andy
could be,
or Nate.
It could be Andy.
Oh, yeah. It could be any of them.
It could be anyone from Wisconsin.
I mean, let's be honest. It couldn't be Jeremy.
Oh, no, my God. It could also be... I could see, like, Nigel. Maybe.
Potentially.
What if it's just Marshall?
I don't think it's clever enough to be Nigel yet. He hasn't said
it's not,
quite
It's not Nigel enough. Level of,
yeah,
of gotcha.
Super Saiyan gotcha. It's just gotcha.
Yeah, that's pretty great, though.
All right.
So we're waiting on you, Totally Not Keith. Post more stuff. You're amazing.
No, don't post too much. I won't be funny anymore.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 151 of Muse on Minis. This has been John.
Keith.
Crump.
Colin.
Chad.
Is it boar shade?
Not
boar
shade.
Snore shade.
Snore shade. I don't think you're. Oh, I'm talking to your mic.
More like chore.
Go.
More like chore shade.
More like borscht shade.
More like
oh, nice.
Not E. Denny shade, not P. Denny shade, not Lead shade.
Correct.
Those don't rhyme.
But it's accurate, shade. Chad, which is more important.
Wait, so are we going to talk about those statistics at all, or just
I think we
leave
should.
It?
I mean, crumpet.
Yeah, crumpet.
I mean, I think we should.
This episode? Because I could go for a long
oh,
time.
God, someone should make a picture of a trumpet with my face on it.
And say crumpet.
Cartoon styled, not like just put my face on a trumpet.
If we have time, we'll move into it. Otherwise, I wouldn't mind having Max and on
like,
that discussion.
Make me the little trumpet that could.
Yeah, this, I'm not going to add much of the statistics.
Wait, for which?
Statisticals.
Oh, so I can talk about how great of a Merc player I am that I care. Yeah, okay, that's perfect.
Just save that for whichever one Max is on.
Correct. And he's not in here. This is glorious. It's all going to be new to him.
Where is he? Know.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, great.
Yeah, leave that on the pre-ramble.
Oh, I destroyed that bathroom earlier.
I don't need to know this.
I felt so bad because your bathroom upstairs doesn't have a fan.
Oh, man.
My wife was in the kitchen, so I was like, oh, she's fine.
I might.
You should have opened the window.
I might be concerned.
There is a window. I feel so bad.
Yeah, just break the window.
You know what actually is a legitimate hacks way to deal with that? Light a match when you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Colin might have blown up the room. Literally explosion.
It is literally a closet that you take a dump in. So.
There might be enough. There might be enough methane.
Never saw
oh yeah, actually, that bathroom is huge compared to his
I've
other house.
Gone to your bathroom. It is.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, and there was no window either.
Wait, is that how the house burned down? You lit a fart?
No, he was in Detroit. That's his good alibi.
Well, he just left the methane behind.
The thing I liked about that bathroom was that there was a vent that went straight down to the basement, so you could hear what everyone in the basement was saying while you were on the toilet.
That was fun.
If the people went silent in the basement, could they hear your piss?
Keith, you want me to get like one of my baby monitors out? We could put it down here and put the speaker up in the
Keith, what the you know what? I like to listen to people talk when I pee.
It does entertain.
It's so soothing.
I noticed that actually the same thing happens at your place now. You can hear. You can listen to the basement from the bathroom.
Oh. That's weird.
Good to know. You shouldn't have told them that.
Yes.
Not like somebody's going to go to the bathroom and comes going to be like, everybody be quiet.
Huh.
Wait, that means Amy might have heard what I was saying about her?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
The next time she sees you, she's going to punch you in the face.
That's awesome.
I don't know where. I don't even have to say anything for that to happen.
What episode are we on? I don't even know.
151.
You guys recorded without me.
We recorded 150.
Yeah, that was 150. So this is 151.
Oh, God, I can't wait till Nigel listens to that.
That is going to be amazing.
Why?
I can't wait till
because Chad went on like a monologue about
I'm a KR player, clamjack man. You know, I'm trembled 7 inches, and I have to spend focus. And blah, 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 blah,
and just like rambled for like 2 minutes, and I was like, that sounds exactly like Nigel. So it's going to be a good one.
Oh man, firing a shot across the bow. The Minnesota-Iowa war continues.
I can't wait till they start talking about Harkachev.
Colin misspoke and said Harkachev, which was amazing.
That's pretty cool.
I hope someone makes Harkachev.
Like 12-caster focus with 32 boxes.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. There were a couple of dead spots. Like where there were just like a couple of one-minute spots where we were just dead silent. And I'm assuming
best,
Lance
nobody
will,
knows.
Yeah.
You assume Lance fixed it?
No, he's going to.
Uh-huh.
Or he'll add crickets, which is fine, because then there's not dead silence.